Let us join together in prayer as we begin this evening. Lord our God, as we gather in the quietness, in a few moments of solemn, holy, joyous, grateful reflection together on this night when we remember our Saviour's birth, the birth of the Lord Jesus, in that very lowly place, in the cattle shed at Bethlehem. We do praise and thank you for bringing us to yet another Christmas Eve, through what has been a tumultuous year for so many. In recent days, we have been shocked and traumatized by events that have taken place all around us, and even as Stuart just reminded us, events that have shaken us even in our own township. And yet, Father, the truths, these eternally significant truths that we celebrate tonight, are unchanging in their power to thrill us and to remind us that you are the God who watches over all, cares about all, and is able to bring the greatest good out of the most difficult and traumatic times. We thank you for another year of life, and we pray at this Christmas time, as many of us, no doubt tired, wearied, saddened by events all around us, seek comfort, courage, meaning, and renewed enthusiasm for life from the truths of our most holy faith. And we pray that as we sing familiar words, as we hear familiar truths restated, that by your Spirit you would breathe upon us and encourage us this special, yes, as we've sung, this holy night. We ask these prayers in and through the wonderful name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Amen.
The events of the original Christmas were publicly announced to Mary, Joseph, the visiting wise men in Jerusalem, and the shepherds. As they all did, let us consider that heavenly message. Let's join together and turn to hymn number 188, Angels from the Realms of Glory, Wing Your Flight Through All the Earth. Heralds of the creation story now proclaim Messiah's birth. And we'll sing verses 1, 2 and 3. Thank you.
Oh,
landing and continue with hymn 164, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. Thank you.
Tonight we're going to think about the angel's message in the dream Joseph had and what he did about it. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary pledged to be married to Joseph. I'll just move. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
all about Jesus' birth. As we sing about it now, may we be caught up in the wonder, the awe and the devotion of these words. Turn to hymn number 171 and we'll sing What Child Is This? What child is this who laid to rest in Mary's arms are sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. Standing and sing the next hymn, 180. O little town of Bethlehem, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see you lie. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by.
Thank you.
sing hymn 172, Away in the Manger. Away in the manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, and little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
The wonderful words which have ushered us into that whole reminder of the first Christmas. Our Lord, the wonder, the questioning of what child is this, and then the reminder of where he was born in that town of Bethlehem, and the actual place in a feed box, as it's now translated, a manger. In a cattle stall, that's where he was placed. I've titled the brief message I'm giving now tonight as God with Us. And as Ian introduced it before with the reading from Matthew's Gospel, this is based upon the words that Joseph received from the visiting angel in a dream that he was privileged to have. Most of the world looks forward to the end of a year, which of course includes Christmas. We've been reminded so many times, and you're probably, as I am, a bit tired of hearing it, unless you're a shopkeeper yourself. You're tired of hearing about the fact that shopkeepers look forward to Christmas because that's when they make their money. Sales usually go up. Now, I'm not against shopkeepers making an honest profit, but that's not why, of course, we look forward to Christmas, but shopkeepers do. Of course, students look forward to the end of the year because that's when their exams are over and all the pressures associated with them, and that's when their holidays have started and they can have a bit of a rest. Of course, people, whether they're believers or not, look forward to the end of the year because they get to spend time with friends and family, whom they don't see for most of the year. But in saying that, I know that for some people, Christmas time especially is a difficult time and a tense time for a variety of reasons. It can be a lonely time. It can be a sad time. As they miss loved ones who've passed on, or their attentions for all sorts of other reasons. But let's not allow these important but temporary things to cloud the issue, that Christmas time for believers is a wonderful time because it reminds us of the coming of God's Son into the world. For Christians, it is a very significant and special, and that's why we're here tonight in the middle of the week to meet together to worship and to praise the Lord. And I want to simply point out two beautiful truths that were revealed to Joseph in this dream that he had, which are not necessarily new to us, of course, but were brand new to him at that time. The angel visits him and tells him two things about the unique baby Jesus who is to be born. Firstly, the purpose for Jesus being born, and that is, of course, to save, to rescue his people. Verse 21, she, Mary, your betrothed wife, will have a son. Well, Joseph knew this, and he was upset and he was concerned about it, as would have we all been in his place and alongside him. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And verse 24 tells us he did exactly that. She will have a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I've skipped over the verses 18 to 20. And I'm not talking about the miracle of our Lord's miraculous conception in Mary's womb tonight. But Joseph was traumatized by what he heard and what he was told, as we would have been. But what he was told by the angel in this miraculous dream reassured him, as the record here shows. But he was told here that Jesus' purpose for being born was to do something unique. It was to rescue his people from their sins by means of his sinless life and his sacrificial death. And as we meet together tonight, how wonderful to be reminded that as we trust ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, all our sins, and for me to just apply it to myself, all Stefan Slutsky's sins, for which he is justly guilty before a holy God, have been paid for by his sinless Saviour Jesus Christ. They've been cleansed away eternally by Jesus' blood. As another year ends, we can take time to think back over, and most of us probably do that as we look at our diaries, if we keep those, or just we flick back through the year as there are programs that help us do that. Gee, it seems a long time ago since New Year's Day in 2014. We think back over our lives. There are things which we would understandably regret that have taken place this year. But when we know that our loving Lord Jesus has cleansed us from all our transgressions, all our misdeeds, all our sins, our thoughts can be filled not with regret and sadness, but they can be filled with hope and gladness and thoughts of looking forward to see him face to face and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making me whole. We can look forward with confidence, with optimism, not ignoring the difficult things and the things that may have made us cry, but looking over and beyond those to the day when we will be able to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. He had a purpose in being born, and that was to save his people from their sins. But Matthew also tells us that the angel told Joseph a second thing. Not only did he have a purpose in being born, but he was able to fulfill that purpose because of his personal characteristic. You see, verse 23. The virgin will conceive a child and will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And Jesus could save because he was no ordinary human being. He was God with us. Yes, Jesus has many names in Scripture, many titles which reveal to us, of course, aspects of his holy and perfect character. And one of the most important is this one, Emmanuel, God with us, God the Mighty One with us. And as we meet tonight, it's true to say that God is present everywhere in his world, whether this or that household, this or that individual acknowledges him to be who he is or not. God is there. God is aware of who that person is, what that household is doing. He's been present in the creation ever since it began. But in a very special and particular way, he stepped into the world with skin on in the person of his son. And as I'll be speaking about tomorrow, he has, in a very definite way, made the invisible God visible and known to the world. And for the person who trusts Jesus, it's true to say, as Paul the Apostle says in the famous Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him freely, gave him up for us all, how will he not freely with him give us all things? Yes, God is for us. God is with us, the scripture says, those who trust in him. In fact, to bring the message to a close tonight, it is true to say God is for us against our sin, not against us because of or for our sin. And so as I finish tonight this brief message, God cares. God is for us against our sin. If he was against us because or for our sin, he didn't have to send Jesus. And so the question is tonight for us and for those we love, and perhaps we could repeat this to people whom we love and say, well, God is for us against our sin. Are we for him? Are we with him this Christmas time? May the Lord bless your celebration of Christmas and your walking into 2015 as you seek to follow him and as you are trusting his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heather's going to lead us now in a time of prayer.
Let us pray. Sovereign and almighty God, we have been reminded again tonight that you come to us as individuals. You have made us, you know us, as you are aware of all our needs when we lie down and when we get up. At this season of Christmas, we thank you for providing your Son to be the Saviour of sinners. We pray that our celebrations of Christmas this year will be joy-filled and peaceful, that those we love would travel safely this holy season, that those humanly lonely or troubled would find in you their comfort and dearest source of security. May the glorious good news about Jesus shine out into the darkness that is life without him. These things we pray in his name. Amen. And as we conclude our service tonight, let's sing this wonderful carol, Silent Night, Holy Night, 182 in your Rejoice hymn books. Thank you.
And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all today and forevermore. Amen.